on page pay. We were learning about a special hisbainimus, a special way of thinking. A way that a person thinks about every moment of life as if it was the last moment. Not, God forbid, to become frightened and scared. That's not the point. And when a person lives this in the right way, it has the opposite effect. Just the opposite. One is not frightened or scared. A person is freed from much of the anxiety that comes with taking the world too seriously. Living with this hisbeinonus of the last moment, the last moment of life, where it's so clear what I could have done, what I should have done, but being able to live like that all of the time, with that sensitivity, with that urgency, not in a way that's not healthy, in a healthy way. That's the hisbeinonus that we've been learning about in this parak. So on the bottom of page K, it says, Bir HaTayv Yeh. Yeshnan Nekudas Nesafis Shel Hisbeinonus Shalom Tzarech Hisbeinon Dehen Bizmani HaTshuva Shaloi. Look, each person has, during the thoughts of tshuva, during special times of tshuva, when the person's thinking about in his own life, what does tshuva mean? What do I have to do? What do I need to work on and focus on? Everybody has his own world of tshuva. Halu b'perek zeh his makadnu b'nekuda achas pshuta. But in this parak, we are focusing on one nekuda, a simple nekuda that all of us have in common. There's nobody on earth that's ever been exempt from this. Chayvas ha'odam levar la'atzmo ma'u ha'tayv. The obligation, the responsibility that you and I have, each one of us has in life, to clarify what is good, what is important. What is tayv? Kol zman shelo bar la'adam ma'u ha'tayv. That's why the thought of how fleeting life is has a way of clearing away much of the confusion and bringing a person to that clear reality of what is tayv, what's the tachlis of tayv. I heard once somebody was saying how there was a, he knew this person, that there was a, it was in Eretz Yisrael, there was, the way I heard it, there was in Hebrew University an English professor. But he came, I think, I don't know if he was from England or from the States, but he was an English professor in Yerushalayim. And he was, not only that he wasn't religious, he was, you know, mamish, not religious. Didn't want to be religious. And he was fighting in the war. I don't know, 67 or 70, there have been, unfortunately, been a lot of wars. I don't know which one. But he was fighting in one of the wars. And he was in a very, very bad matzif. He was in a tank and it was blown up, and he found himself by bleeding to death on a hill someplace in the desert. So what happened to this professor? His mom is bleeding to death on a mountain, in the desert. And he didn't know what, where. It was finished. There was no hope for him. And I don't remember which army, the Syrians or the Egyptians, were all over the place. And he was dying. So he said that when he was lying there, he bleeding to death, his mind drifted back to when he was with his grandfather. His grandfather was still alive. And his grandfather used to say with him Kriya Shema when he put him to sleep. And then he was thinking about when the one time in his life that he put on film, by the bar mitzvah, that he put on a pair of film. This is what he was thinking about. And he had the presence of mind. This is what he described later on. He had the presence of mind to say, to have this thought. As he was dying, he had a thought And the thought was, my whole life I've invested in Shakespeare, in Milton, and the rest of those deranged people. My whole life I've invested in that. I've written 1,000 articles. I've taught 10,000 classes. You would think that in my last few moments of life, I would review one of the sonnets, no? That's what you would think, that I would chaser over something, one of the great masterpieces of literature that I taught, that I loved, that I lived with. And here I am, on some forsaken mountain, a mound of earth, of sand in the desert, bleeding to death. They're about to come and finish me off. If I'm not dead by the time they get here, they'll kill me. And what am I thinking about? I'm thinking about, I said Krishma with Zaidi. I'm thinking about that I put on film once in my life. And he said that he was makabel upon himself. He said that if somehow God takes me out of this, I'm going to start that again, Krishma and film, and I'll tell it to my kids and so on. He had the older children. So again, we know the story from him. He did. He survived and became Shem HaMitzvahs. He said with his children, that's what I heard, that his children, because they didn't buy it, they're already older, they weren't interested, but he himself became Shem HaMitzvahs. From this, his boininess, as he was dying, this is boininess of Mahu HaTayv, what's the tachlis of life? If you would have asked him any other time in his life, he would have said the tachlis is A, B, and C, and certainly Shakespeare would have been much higher up than Krishna. Krishna wouldn't have been on his list at all. Wouldn't have been on his list. And they said, but now Mahu HaTayv. What's the ultimate Tayv? The ultimate Tayv is that which I ignored since the time I'm a little boy. And we understand it from that story, or we understand even without the story, that viewer, to clarify within oneself, Mahu HaTayv, what is Tayv? What's the definition of Tayv? There are a lot of things that are good. Chocolate ice cream is good, French fries are good, a vacation is good, a good friend is good. Everything is, all that's good. But HaTayv, for which I was created. When you're dying, it's very, very unlikely to continue on with the game. Some people do, but it's much less likely. Death is a very big mevarer. It helps one to see things in the right perspective, to see things correctly, to set things straight. And therefore his boinless of that last day, even when a person with God's help is fine as well, but that his boinless itself, its most powerful tool in being Levira, Mahu HaTayv. Mahu HaTayv. Kol zman shelo baro lo adam Mahu HaTayv, nishkech minu HaTayv. If it's not clear to you what the Tayv is, then it's very easy to forget that Krishna when you were a little child. It's very easy to forget. If it's not clear to you, then you're not sure. Then Krishna could be number 422 on your list of, on your shopping list of Tayv, that consists of all different foods and places and friends and families and books and magazines and all the way, then it says something about religion or it says something about God. It's just a number on your list, but it's not HaTayv. You forget Nishkach Menu HaTayv. You see that children have a much simpler way of seeing that. But as we grow up, we forget. That's the meaning of Chanukah, is the meaning of remembering. The whole meaning of Yovan is l'hashkichan, to cause us to forget. And the whole meaning of Chanukah is to remember. And it doesn't take much to remember. The same candle, there's a Chanukah candle, and there's also a candle that's lit during Shiva. It's a morbid comparison, isn't it? When somebody passes away, you light a candle. And that is a way of identifying the presence of of the neshama is still connected to that house, to that place, right? So you light a candle. Hanukkah is to heal that sickness of forgetting. And itself the very beginning. That's why there are eight. Eight means something that can no longer be forgotten. Seven means something that's still, the Torah is shikha. Seven means it's still part of physical reality. And in the physical world there's deterioration and there's forgetfulness and there's loss and so on. When you go beyond that, it's impossible to forget. Just like the bris is seared onto the baby's flesh on the eighth day, it's not a matter of forgetting. It's the metzius of who he is. The baby has the bris of Hashem. It's not something which is up for forgetting. It can't be forgotten. It's unforgettable. Chanukah means the ability to overcome forgetfulness. That's why Yaakovina returned. He forgot the Pachim Ketan in the last parasha. He went back to get that, which we have a Kabbalah from the Kadmonim, that was the jar of, that would become the jar of Chanukah oil many years in the future. And he went back he forgot. And that's the meaning of the Gid Hanosha, that he got last Shabbos, a klap in that part of his body. The meaning of Gid Hanosha, Nosha is Nashami Elokim, means to forget. When something is dislodged from your consciousness, a dislodgement is the word Nashami, Gid Hanosha. And what did Yaakovinu, the teretz of that is to remember, to go back and to light the Chanukah candle. The Chanukah is the light of remembering. That's why you see, even Jews who have forgotten everything else about Yiddishkeit, they remember Chanukah, it's a pella. They don't remember Shabbos. If you go over to somebody, you say, I see you have an electric menorah in your window, what do you feel about Hashanah Rabbah? So what? So, Hashanah Rabbah. What's Hashanah Rabbah? Hashanah Rabbah is the last day of Sukkot. Hashanah. What's Sukkot? Doesn't know. Oh, Sukkot, yeah, I remember. It's the booth. They sit in booths. But Chanukah? Because Chanukah is overcoming forgetfulness. Because Choshech is Yavan, darkness. At the beginning of time, Baruch HaShatov of all the Choshech. Choshech is Greece. Choshech is the same letters as the word Shakoach, to forget. That's the darkness of a world that has forgotten Mahu HaTov. What is Tov? What is good? If it's so amazing, by Chanukah, you don't need to have all kinds of things to make it good. Everybody loves Chanukah more than every other Yom Tov. So what does it do? What is it, Chanukah? The whole thing is a little candle. What's so gewaldic? So for children, you say, oh, the children get presents. That's a later, as you know, that was a gelt, a Chanukah gelt. But the whole need to make Chanukah into a kratzmach, that's not Chanukah. So it's the good of Chanukah. It's the uncomplicated reality of that candle, of remembering. That's what a candle does. That's why you have on your side, you light a candle. And there's a zikar, a lamp, you light a candle to remember. To remember. There was something that I thought it's not here, but it's still here. That's what the candle is. That's why I look for the chametz with a candle, to remember. That's what a candle is. That's what Chanukah is, to remember. To overcome the forgetting of memory, that means memory that was dislodged from its place. From its place. That's the inner of Yaakov Avinu. So that's what he's saying. Ukshenishkach hatoiv, when good is forgotten, ukshenishkach hatoiv, Ein bekoichai luchyais as divrei ha-Mesil Hashem, then you can't live the life of the Mesil Hashem that we were talking about. We're on the bottom of page Pei. Shekol ma'isei kot nagodol yesh la'asas rakam nas l'skav l'rabbani shalom. In other words, the tzaddik lives a life like that, and you and I can become that kind of person, where every single thing that the person does is with the remembering mahu hatayv. Mahu hatayv. I mean, every single thought, word, and action is focused on Mahu Hatayf. Mahu Hatayf. I remember many years ago I was sitting in a restaurant with two old friends of mine. We were sitting in a restaurant, and I'd never been to such, it was a very expensive place, because this friend lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he came here and he wanted to get together a couple of the chaverim, a long time ago. And I remember this, I don't know why, you know, there's a lot of dumb things to stay. You forget like important stuff, but you remember them. So I remember in the middle of talking, and this guy, there were three of us, and he didn't say anything, he was just quiet. And he had his eyes closed, and, you know, like, wondering what's going on with him. So he said, like, whatever his name, let's say, Avi. So what is it? He says, what's the matter with you? Why don't you answer? We're talking to you. So he said, I can't, I'm concentrating on this steak. I don't want to talk now, because I'm trying to savor this moment, and I don't want to be distracted by, you know, any conversation about the purpose of life or God. I have to be in this moment of the steak. You know, you don't get an answer, so, especially in those days, you didn't have anything like that. So you have to live in this moment. That when a person's toiv is that something of this world, you understand that his thoughts, his words, his actions are all revolving around that definition of what's toiv, ma'ahu toiv. We spoke about this at the beginning of the parak. Everybody, like, how many times, as many times it happens, it's always like such a shocking thing to the parents. Like, this will happen almost every day. I'll be on the phone with somebody, or somebody will come in and say, I don't understand. My son's 7 years old. He doesn't want to daven. He doesn't want to go with his father to shul. And when it comes time for davening, he's playing, he's distracted. And the mother doesn't understand how that could be. If there's a kid that wants to daven, that's something that I would say, I don't understand. But if there's a child that doesn't want to daven and wants to play, the mother doesn't understand. What's there not to understand? If you ask the child, Mahu Hatayv, what is good? So on his list, davening is not. Our job in chinuch is to help him, to help show him that that's taka, toiv. But when it's done artificially and without love and without inspiration, so then all the child is going to do is imitate, to get away with it, to do enough that will convince his teachers and parents that he's a good boy. But what will he truly indulge in? He'll indulge in what he considers to be taif. It's very hard to explain the nature of ben hazmanim in the yeshivas. Now, I don't know if I should fill the girls in on this, because why do you have to go through this pain? It's hard enough to deal with guys without hearing some of their darker secrets. But if you know what's happening in the ben hazmanim situation, like the ben hazmanim, you know, the in-between semesters in the yeshiva has grown. It's grown like, Chanukah is coming up. There are going to be yeshivas that are giving off Chanukah 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. This is after the Rebbe just spent the last month talking about how Chanukah is a yontif to celebrate the Torah. And then when it comes to Chanukah, everybody goes skiing. They're not learning Torah. They're closed. Yeshivas closed. Chanukah was Chanukah. You just read, you were talking about Torah Shavuot. It was Chanukah. The Ben Hazmanim has grown. How could it be that someone that's sitting and learning the Torah Zman can so easily disconnect from learning? How is it possible? Unless there's something that's not seeping into the bones, into the molecules of the boys, unless they're not feeling that Torah is truly hatoyf. I'm not suggesting that people shouldn't get a little bit of a break. I'm not talking, God forbid, that's ridiculous. What I'm saying is that the break is now, has taken on a certain urgency. I'm talking to Bachem every day, or going ben hazmanim, like to Sicily or something. And it's always like extended. A day. It starts early, and by now in Israel, even before Purim, the American yeshivas for sure. It's like, yeah, where's everybody? The place starts to empty out. If you don't feel that that's the type of your life, You can imitate it, you could do it, because it is a good thing, it's on your list, and you might even enjoy it, but it's very hard for that dusty Gemara in a dusty Beis Medrash and a side street of Yerushalayim to compare with Sicily, whatever, I was never there, but wherever that, the Swiss Alps, wherever the person, wherever the guys are going, or it could be to Eilat or some, not that they shouldn't have fun, that's not what I'm saying. I hope you don't take it the wrong way. I'm not saying this. Somebody shouldn't have fun. But what's hatayv? And when the child grows up in a certain house, he knows what his parents' definition of tayv is. You could give the little speech about learning and the importance of being a Jew every now and then. But that's not going to sell your kid. Unless the kid sees what's tayv. We spoke about this at the beginning of the parak. Mahu hatayv. The children can see in their parents' home what the parents consider to be hatayv. Hatayv, the ultimate tayv. What do my parents think is the ultimate tayv? That's what they can see. So he explains. Adam shechas on the bottom of page pay. A person who has not brought himself to understand in a very clear way, mahu hatayv, what is the ultimate tayv? Besides that, most likely he's going to spend the days of his life in all kinds of narishkeit, because there's a long list of tayvs. There's a long list of good stuff that he would like to do. What would you like to do in life? What would be, you know, so he has a lot of things he'd like to do. Someone said to me that he doesn't want to die without going parachuting. So I said, you know, first of all, there are a lot of people that they could even die while they're parachuting. You mean you could do it all, it could be like a big, you could do it all in one day. But he doesn't want to leave the world without parachuting. So I think parachuting, there was once a time in my life that I wanted to do that. But then I said that. Then I found out I was going to go with a guy who wanted to do it. But then he had to take lessons and go, and the whole thing was expensive. And so it looked to me like it was nice, but to say that that's the toiv, well, that's something that I have to have in life. The person has to know clearly. So aside from the fact that machalas yama v'shnayis of levik kipshute, a person who doesn't know what the toiv is, that he could be spending his life in all kinds of narishkeit. Just kipshuta, wasting his life. Wasting his life. You have a person that could sit down, a grown person that could sit down children, it's very popular, these books, Harry Potter. You heard it? It's very famous. So they have, they're fat. You ever see them? They're fat books. There's some lady in England that's making a lot of money from these books. Millions and millions of people in the Shiga. I never read it. I know my kids have read it. There's, I don't know how many there are, 6 or 7 or 8, and I don't know how many, there's a whole series. It's fantasy, right? It's make-believe. It's make-believe. Say that a person could spend his whole life like a narishkeit. I'm not talking about a child reading a book. And again, not to have fun. But you have people that they spend every Friday night on a couch reading some stupid novel. Even if it's a classic. When I say stupid, it's not a nice word. We're not allowed, our children are allowed to say it. But I mean stupid. So if it's a high class choshev, a classic, you know, so your parashas Vayeshev book is Wuthering Heights. Yeah, it's choshev. Still, if the 120... One thing I'm all to have to a person relaxes a little bit, but to spend a life with an Irish guy. Olav Adas kies atalich hazeh shal bir hatoiv hu yeh muchrach laver. This is a hard thing that we have to know. Every one of us ultimately is going to have to know very clearly what's right and what's wrong. Every one of us is going to know 1,000,000%. What good? What is the definition of hatayv? We all have to come to that. Every Jew who ever lived has to be brought to that. Regardless of how you live your life, and regardless of how you were when you left the world, nobody, no Jew can live in the world of Dinyanis forever, not knowing what is Hattayv. Can't be. Habchira Yechid B'Yadol, and therefore, what is man's choice? The only choice we have is here on page Pei Aleph. He loy laheichan lagia, ella haim lagia lakach b'kaychas atzmo b'chivah. So it's not where we're going to end up. We're going to end up with every one of us is going to end up knowing 1,000,000% Hattayv. What is the ultimate Tayv? We're all going to know that. Makes no difference what shul you belong to. Makes no difference if you think that being a modern Orthodox, or Haredi, or Hasidic, or Litvish, or Swedish, or Galician, or Hungarian, Yakish. Makes no difference what game you were playing in this world, or whatever you called your Yiddishkeit, or however your Yiddishkeit was enclosed or dressed. Makes no difference. You could state all that stuff you like here, but the Hattayv of Dveikus Bashem is something that every single one of us is going to come to. There's no choice. That's not part of man's b'chir. Therefore, we have no choice where we're going to end up, meaning in that world, and that, with that clear understanding of Hattayv. The question is, did you get to that place on your own while you were flesh and blood? With your own choice? Did you make that choice? In the end, it's not a matter of choice. Every one of us has to get to the big picture, to the big beer. The shaila, the tachas of life, is were you mevara that while you were alive, while you had free choice? While there were a lot of things that looked like they were toiv, and you were able to turn your eyes away from them and say, okay, there's a lot of stuff in the world that's all nice, but ha-toiv is the Borei Olam, is the Dveikus Bashem, is Torah, is the Baruch Shalom. That's Hattayv. In the world of Bechira, to be Mavara, that there's nothing that's more beautiful. There's nothing that's more precious than being Mavara the truth. There's nothing that's more beautiful. There's nothing that's more beautiful than learning Halacha and living Halacha, which is the absolute truth. It's absolute truth. Shabbos is the truth. When you're learning Shabbos, you're learning the halachas of Shabbos, and when you live Shabbos, it's the bir, it's clarifying what's true. And to know and to understand Mahu HaTov, the Rambam, as you know, wrote a great deal, and the Rambam was totally, completely proficient beyond anything we could understand in every area of Torah, and in every area of science, the math, everything. But the Rambam said that was most precious to him was clarifying the fundamental principles of our faith. To explain to us the Ikari Ha'emunah, the 13 principles of faith. The Rambam says there was nothing that was more precious to him. And there was no better way to spend his time than clarifying the principles of faith. The truth. Mahu HaTov. Mahu HaTov. So the question is, your choice is Elohim lagi lakach b'koyches atzmo b'bechirasa. We're all going to get to that. We all have to be shown the big picture, the truth, the taif. The question is, did you get there on your own, using your own koyches, with your own choice? Or do you have to, God forbid, be schlepped and dragged, kicking and screaming to that birur? Im adam loy misnatek mehayt lamazeh, if a person does not learn how to detach himself from things of this world. Again, he does not mean, nor does he ever suggest, that means living a life of poverty or throwing away all your makeup kits and stuff and moving into a one-bedroom apartment. He's not talking about that. Lehis not take doesn't mean to throw away the world and run to a mountain. It means that the world shouldn't be a mountain inside of your brain. The world should be what it is, what it really is. Not to get carried away with things. Im adam loy misnatek ma'olam hazeh, the person does not disengage from olam hazeh, and he's still holding on to it. He's holding on to it. Then bal karchai, then it's not a matter of choice. Shalacha misosa yitzdarach lehiznatik, then after death, it's going to have to be ripped away from you, but then it's much, much harder and it's terribly painful. I'm not going to go into descriptions of how that hurts. To tear the world out of somebody who's holding on to it tightly, it's the most painful thing. There are no words in this world that could describe the horrible pain that's experienced when the person was holding tightly onto the world, and then you have to open his hands to let go of the world. That pain of beyond this world. That pain of beyond this world. My father just told me an expression in Yiddish. I don't remember exactly how it goes, but the basic thing, it was sounded much better in Yiddish and how he said it, but the basic meaning of it is, I'll have to ask him again how it goes. My father said that there's an expression that Jews always said, is that it's not, but in Yiddish it's good, how do you say it? But the way it came out is like this, it's not dying that gets me nervous. It's when they bury me, that I don't like. Dying is not bad. Dying I could live with. But the burial, that's a bad thing. The burial, that's a bad thing. So what's the chilek? It's not leaving the world per se. It's after this world. And being taken, that the world, for the world to be taken away from a person who's holding on to it. We're not masig what that means. We're not masig what that. You have two people that have the same wardrobe, but there's a big difference between them. One was holding on to the wardrobe, the other one was wearing the wardrobe. You understand? There's a big difference. You have two people that live, they both live in beautiful homes, but there's a difference. One was living in the house, the other one was clutching the house. The other one was holding on to the house. There's a difference. You can tell the difference in 5 minutes when you talk to the person. They can both live in beautiful homes. But when you talk to the person, you can see in 5 minutes whether there's someone who lives in a house or who's holding on to the house for dear life. It comes up in every conversation. And the way the person talks and lives, is somebody who lives in the house or somebody who's crawling on all fours in the house, kissing every single tile and kitchen faucet. After all, it took 2 years to find a faucet like that. So why shouldn't you kiss it? He says, mezuzah you can get in 30 seconds. Faucet, you have to go to every cipher to find the right faucet. So there's a difference between those people. Al Karach, the Baruch Hu, is going to take the world away from us. Each one of us is not going to end up with the world. This world is not going to, we're not going to end up with this world. That's the way it is. No one's putter from that. It's just a matter of you making the decision to loosen your hands, or the hands being forced open. If a person doesn't detach himself, so then Bal Karach is going to have to be forced, screaming and kicking and yelling and all that means in the grave, to let go. Avol sham hanituk harbe yoser kashe umachiv. However, there, the nituk, the disengagement, is much more difficult and much more painful than it is here. Here it's relatively easy. Again, not to throw out your things, but to let go of your things. To live with your things, but to let go of them. The world's getting a big lesson right now. There are people who are losing so much money, Hashem Yerachem, such numbers that the people, such terrible things that people are going through that they had of this world, and all of a sudden, someone told me today about a yid that he lost over $1 billion just the other day, because there's a whole mice that happened. There was a terrible thing, Achil Hashem, somebody, I don't know all the details, the guys told me yesterday in shul, there was a yid that did something, Hashem Yerachem. And there was another yid that had invested in him. I'm not talking about yeshivas, which I heard that Yeshiva University lost like 100 million, I don't know, crazy, $1 million, and this school, Ramaz and SAR, they were telling me different schools that had with this guy money. But there was one Yid, Hashem Shabbos Yid, one Yid, he lost himself, that's what they told me. I didn't read anything, but he lost himself $1.1 billion. Say, no, he probably, I hope he has another billion. I mean, and, but to lose like that, you have to be a big person. You have to be a big person to go through that and to stay happy and well and to be focused on who you are and what you have. You have to be a big person. So there's a big nisayon. Something is happening in the world now. There's a big nisayon. There's a very, very big test to see whether or not you're just living in the world, or whether you're bound to the world, you're glued to the world. It's a nisayon. And each and every one of us should do something to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm letting go. You don't have to come and take it from me. I'm letting go. Letting go doesn't mean that I'm throwing out my things, but I'm letting go of something. I said, somebody asked me, they were scared, what's going to be? I said, so then you don't have to wait till they knock on your door and start emptying out your house. Why don't you begin by throwing something out that doesn't belong in your house? Get rid of it. What do I have in my house? So, that's, I'm not telling you what you have. Get rid of something in your house. Maybe you have extra money lying around. Get rid of it. Give it to some poor people. Or else they can knock on your door and take it away from you. So you'd rather go someplace in the ground, and you can give it to a person who doesn't have food. So get rid of it. Something more than usual. Get rid of it. You have in your house a television, a kli hashchasa. So get rid of it. Do something to show that I'm not holding on to the world. Get rid of it. You don't have to hold on so tightly to those things. You get rid of it. To give something, you have. 150 dresses. So give some. Get rid of it. Give some to, maybe they could use, I don't know, shoes. I can't walk 5 feet in my house without tripping. It's a sakanas nefashis with shoes. I never saw in my life. So I don't know where, I don't have so many feet around here. How come there's so many shoes? Everywhere I walk, everywhere I go. Top of the stick is bottom of the stick. Look, I almost got killed so many times with the shoes or the stairs and all different places, shoes everywhere I open. It's like the Tzfadeim in Mitzrayim. Everywhere I open, there's shoes. Ben Shalom, what is it with the shoes? And then I come home, there's some box sitting by the door. It's not a box of shoes. Because there was one day that they couldn't get to the shoe store, so they were having some kind of a thing to have a shoe, so they had to have somebody bring them a shoe. I don't know, it's shoes. I'm wearing these same shoes. I'm going to tell them, my wife would be going back. I have these same shoes. These are for now going on the 7th year, these shoes. It's a good pair of shoes. Yeah. Got them in Bar Park. I can tell you where I got them. 7 years. Okay, I understand that a girl has a different meaning because the shoe has to match. The whole thing has to match. Say that how many things. Let go of something. To give something. To let go. To say, Baruch Shalom, you don't have to come. You don't have to send somebody to my door knocking like the Gestapo to come here and start pulling things away from me and to empty out my bank account and to take away this world. I'm giving that. I don't need it. You don't have to come to this house. I give. I don't need it. What I have, Baruch Hashem, thank God we have, and the Baruch Shalom, you've been so kind to us, we have nice things. I don't have to have these things. My children, my husband, my family, my parents, my svarim, whatever. But I don't have to have things to be in this world. It's a big nisayon that we're going through. For a person, lehis not take, to let go, lehis not take. The kudan I surface, eich lehis not take ma'ilam hazeh. An additional point when it comes to this inyan, pay aleph like 7 lines down. The goodness of Eichle is not take ma'ilam hazeh. Another nekuda of how to separate. Eichle is not take ma'ilam hazeh. Adam sarach ladash, kol hanoh shu lakech ma'ilam hazeh. A person has to know that any pleasure or benefit that he takes from this world, he starach l'shalom aleh, you have to pay for. have to pay. There are different types of payments, but you have to pay. Nothing's for free. Nothing's for free. When there was a time when I was a little boy that I got crazy the stamp collecting. That was a thing back then. It was a big Indian with a lot of the guys to collect stamps. So they used to have in the comic books these advertisements, 1,000 stamps free. And my father never wanted me to. I used to say, "Daddy, it's 1,000 stamps." My father said, "It's not free. There's no such thing as anything free in the world." There was a bit of a pressure to old Jews. Nothing is free. Nothing is free. I said, "But Daddy, this one got it, that one got it. They sent the whole, whole big book with." And I said, "It's not free." And of course, I got a stamp anyways. Not then, but a different time. And I sent it to send a letter, whatever it was. And they sent it then. It's not free. It's not free. They have all different things they sent with it, and you have to send it back if you don't want, and they charge you for it, and chulu, chulu, chulu. Like the Book of the Month club. Book of the Month club. It's not, no one's giving away from this world anything. It's not free. You have to pay. Like the Biskrov said, money is the cheapest way to get away with something. Money is the cheapest way to pay. There are other ways to pay, but money is the easiest way to pay something. That's why if something happens to the car and it gets a clap and everybody is okay, it's the easiest way to pay is with money. There are other ways God forbid is paying. Chalila. Money is the easiest way to pay. That's for sure. Right? We all agree that Hashem's Baruch should take nothing. Money is the easiest way to pay. You do a bitui shemaran hagon Rabbisal Salant is itself. Everybody knows it's very famous that Rabbisal Salant has said, Sha'olam hazeh hu beis malon yakar ma'od. Bisol said, Olam hazeh, this world is a very expensive hotel. It's a very deep teaching. This world, he says, is a very expensive hotel. What does that mean? You know what it means. You could drive around in a hotel and you feel like, you sit in the lobby and you call over, bring me I'll have a Diet Coke with a lemon. They bring it to you on a plate, a little thing. On a plate, the guy comes and brings a Diet Coke. And it's a machaya. He didn't ask me for anything, the guy. He just brought me a drink. A machaya, no? So I think this is good over here. It's very good. So there are other things you could order. All different kinds of things. I go to the room, I order, I call up, I want this, I want that. Room service, all different things. Machaya. The guy never said a word to me. Just brings me, kaseya, brings me. But when it comes time to check out, oh boy. And he says to the people at the desk, no one said anything to me. I asked for Diet Coke, he brought me Diet Coke. Why didn't he tell me that the Diet Coke costs $40? Whatever they charge in a hotel for a soda. Why didn't he tell me? I wouldn't have gotten it. I didn't know. I mean, I had to read the book and it says room service cost me. It's expensive. And the room itself. And people like to have a nice hotel. Not four stars, more stars than four. A nice hotel. This world's an expensive hotel. Adam Olu Khalilu Abid is Kala Terra Mitzhloya de Isna Hano Shunana Mihailamaza. For the time that you spend in this hotel, you can lose all of your tiramisus. You can get so distracted and sidetracked. But it's more than that. It's not just a matter of getting distracted. It's that there's a cheshbon. What does that mean, there's a cheshbon? Adam Tzarech Lefached, Shem Es Kol HaSchar HaOtzim HaMegil HaMitzvah. So if here you're doing mitzvahs your whole life, you're doing a lot of good stuff, and davening and learning and doing nice things and helping and Shabbos, all kinds of mitzvahs. Hu Mekabel B'dvarim Pe'utim B'chesvei Erech V'olam HaZeh. How do you compare this? I once used the mashal, some of you remember. The biggest rachmanis is when you go with the kids, when you go with them to one of these things like an arcade, like a chalamay with the machines. And the kids get so crazy with those when they comes out from the thing, the those tickets come out, the kids get mishugged. Who knows what I'm going to have from this? And they see they got their ball into the thing and it lit up and they got into the 500 thing, ding, 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 and the machine comes out, all these tickets and the kids going crazy. Daddy, hold the tickets, they got tickets. And then they're running around, and you already spent a lot of money for them to get these. And then they're going to go and wait in line with all the other Jewish children to go and to get, they thought they're going to get with these tickets. They thought, who knows what they're going to get? They're going to get a house in Back Lawrence with these tickets. I'm going to buy, who is? I'm going to get a trip to Eretz Yisrael with these tickets. And then when they get to the counter, so they get that tired, bored, you know, alcoholic, whatever, saying, well, they put in a thing and they could, here, that's for 4,000 of your tickets. It's like a broken water gun, plastic water gun. And the kids can't believe it. So then I always ended up like getting them something else and whatever. It always became like a thing because it was such deep disappointment. I worked so hard throwing all those balls and I got some junk piece of plastic that's not worth 20 cents in the thing. And they always, on top, they have like big CD players. You know what I'm talking about. But that, for that, you have to stand there your whole life, 120 years, getting every time 500. And then even then, by that time, the place is closed up and there's no longer... But everybody else, they really just get that. Nobody gets that. Nobody. That's why it's the same thing there all the time. Nobody ever gets that. They only get the 20 cent thing. Not even. These ridiculous prizes they get. It's more pathetic what we do. It's much more pathetic how what we trade in for what price. What he's saying is a very frightening thing that every one of us have heard who's ever learned Torah knows this is true. That a person should remember this and be afraid. That he's trading in his Torah mitzvahs for very cheap prizes. If you don't detach yourself from this world, that means you could use this world as payment. It's up to you. You want to fresh on this world, you want to hold on to the world, you want to indulge in the world, say that. That's a choice that a person has. You could either take the 20 cent toy gun, plastic gun, or you could trade it in Olam Haba. In other words, what do you want for a prize? It's a big question. What's the prize? There's no question. The Baruch Shalom says, Chazal tells us that there isn't any good thing that a Jew ever did that he doesn't get rewarded for. Everything that you and I have ever done, we get tickets. It's coming out. The question is, where's your counter? Where do you go to? So you have a choice. You can go to the counter and get the 20 cent toy with all the tickets. You have a lot of tickets. You did this mitzvah, you did that mitzvah, you helped this one, you did that, all the mitzvahs, brachas, and davening, and then you end up taking all the tickets and you go to some silly counter and you get from some an Irish kind, a tchotchke. That's what this world is. It's all tchotchke. It's an expensive hotel. Expensive because the price is not just what you're paying to be in the world. It's that you're trading in the other world for this world. It's a very, very pathetic thing to trade in the other world for this world. It's a cheshman. Everything's with a cheshman. Just like when you get the bill, you know, like I have this with the kids when they're in Eretz Yisrael, so they have the credit card. So then my wife asks them, like, what's this place? You know, like Sam's Bagels. You know, $45. What happened by Sam's? What is that, Sam's Bagels? So the kid says, what? What? I didn't do that. I know what you're talking about. What are you talking about? Sam's Bagels. It doesn't lie. How do they know over here to put on this settle Sam's Bagels? Oh, yeah, I remember, yeah, in Ramat Eshkol, there's a place, Sam's Bagels. But the guy, Sam's Bagels, yeah. It's a cheshbon. It's not a mistake. Sometimes there's a mistake, but mostly not. You don't even remember there's such a place where we trade in our, where we drop our shkolim in this world. That's how it is. It's a cheshbon. Everything's a cheshbon. A person can use his mitzvahs for silly toys. A person can use his mitzvahs in such a way. One second, Bezdin Shalmala, Meshalman Lakol Ish Lefi Mahalolai. In the Bezdin Shalmala, you know how you get rewarded? How does the Bezdin above, how do they reward you? According to Lefi Mahalolai, like it says in Pasuk, according to what you really think is a great prize. Im Adam Mahalolas Al Hevel, if you praise and think of Hevel as an Irish kite as a great prize, in other words, the new extension to the house or the new dress, that's the prize. That's a great prize for what I do for my mitzvahs. So the Baruch Shem says, okay, that's what you like, that's what you want to trade in for, that's the counter you come to, come right this way, and we'll show you the next outfit. Just came in straight from Paris or wherever, and Mishalom Leibah, and that's the prize that you get. Hevel, something silly that rots with the worms in the ground. That's what you get. Imu Mahal is Atayiv. If you think is a great prize is something much greater than this world, and it's not this world that's your prize, but you're waiting for the prize that's beyond this world. then mishamla b'toyv. Then that's the prize that you, that's the prize that you get. Adam yudesh atoyv amiti hu arbarin shalom. If a person knows that true toyv is the arbarin shalom. Schar hatoyv ha-mitzvah shalom yeh schar ruchni amiti. Then the reward for every Torah, every mitzvah, anything that you did in this world, you'll be able to collect that reward at the real counter of that which is toyv ha-nitzvah, the ultimate toyv which is forever and ever and ever. That's the counter that you cash in. Dveikus, kirvas Hashem, that's what you want. And in this world and beyond this world, the greatest dveikus, the greatest kirvas Hashem. Avlim chasa shalom kosha leil mazeh. But if your entire attachment is to the counter with the tchatchkes, v'reitz harak b'kinyani leil mazeh, and you want to trade in your Torah mitzvahs just for stuff behind that counter, where the tchatchkes are, v'chamal aslan. You can get your entire reward in this world with the tchatchkes. What comes out from this is that each and every one of us has to let go of this world from these three, perspectives. Aleph, which is reviewing. First of all, you went crazy to get these things. How do you know you can even end up having these things? That's what we learned. The world just taught a big lesson now. People were crazy to get stuff, and now it's gone. Very fast. You don't even know you're going to have it. First of all, ulay mochar, yinutak leha. First of all, tomorrow you might lose everything, or tomorrow you might not even be in the world anymore. The stuff that you had was taken, or you're taken from the stuff. The stuff is there and you're not there. Or you're there and the stuff's not there. It's not giving it. Either way, you're not with your stuff. Whether you went or the stuff went, you're not with the stuff. So you were mishugah for this stuff, so that's enough. You're not with this stuff anymore. That's one thing, days. If you don't separate yourself, you don't make that choice to let go and to clarify and to define in an absolute clear way what is toiv, and I'm going to spend my life pursuing the ultimate toiv. I can have nice things, but that's not the toiv. If you don't give those things up, then it's going to be forced away from you. But then it's going to be much, much harder. Gimel, the third thing that we just learned is that all of the schar, all of the reward of Torah mitzvah shloi, who olu la'abed of reizah davar ma'achal or ma'at kovet, you could use up all your tickets from all your mitzvahs on what? On some food or some kovet. Kovet is a lot of tickets. You know what it means, covered? It's a lot of tickets, covered. To get covered, for people to admire you and to impress people, that's a lot of tickets. That's more than the restaurant. That's one of the most expensive items in the hotel of this world, is covered. You can use up a lot of tickets with covered. For people to make me into something. People to look at me as something. It's a lot of tickets. You can use up everything. You can use up everything with Chalil, a person could use up his mitzvahs, his Torah mitzvahs with such tickets to trade in at such a counter for what? For covet, for some food, for something, for some tchotchke. I'm sorry, you wanted to...
Is nachas a payment?
Nachas? You say you should have Yiddish and nachas.
Is it payment?
Yiddish, that a person should have nachas ruach in ruchni, it's nachas ruach in things that are important. It's not an achesman of the next world. No, it's a taste of the next world in this world, but it doesn't come in the cheshbon of the next world. That's when it's nachas. The emes nachas. Yiddish nachas. Yiddish nachas. That's not a cheshbon. The Baruch Shalom gives little previews, and you can enjoy them, and it's not on the cheshbon of something else. To see a child that's going the right way, to have nachas from one's Torah mitzvahs, that's not an achesmet. That's all extra on the account. It's good. It doesn't hurt anything. It's only good. So next week tonight, we'll just go over, before we start, we'll do the sikkum a little bit. We'll summarize everything until now. That'll take 5 minutes, and then we're going to go into the parak about strengthening our she'ifas. What does it mean to have a she'ifa? This here called she'ifa, so we're going to see what she'ifa means. Sky.